I was just thinking, in fact, several people said, you know, a high percentage of what Brother Benny Hinn ministered, his pastor, is what you've been ministering for the last several weeks. On the witnessing and, well, a lot of other things. The presence of God, being in the presence of God. We've ministered, God has anointed us to minister, as we told you, in Mexico to around 600 of the elite or strong or growing ministries and churches in Mexico, as they were there to honor Brother Wayne Meyer and his 92nd birthday. It was a very special occasion. You guys were there, very special presence of God. God has anointed us just a few days ago for the 29th year, if I believe we have our timing right, to speak for the ministers' conference for Brother Andrew Womack, and I guess we've been on his board about the same period of time. So we've had some interesting opportunities. This next Sunday, we're finally going to take a vacation. It's been about a year and a half since we've had an honest vacation, and I thank God for it. You raised money for us to go to Hawaii, so we're going to submit to the will of God. But next Sunday, we'll be ministering in Dr. James Morocco's church. Actually, we'll minister about three times there, and then the rest of it will be vacation, R&R, whatever you say, whatever you call it. I would appreciate your prayers. Brother Greg Moore will be here next Sunday, and he's looking forward to that. And so it's an exciting time. And then, of course, I'll tell you, it just puts a lump in my throat when I arrive up and see those men up on top of the church. And we're moving forward. We're moving forward. I can't get away from the 91st Psalm. If you'll turn with me to Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, day or night, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When others fall, by God's grace I stand. Is that your testimony? Amen. Our rising or fall does not depend on others. It depends on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the authority of the believer. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Hallelujah. I've been seeing a lion on display. Just bought it this last week. It's not a live one. Don't panic. But it's a real life looking lion from the Fort Worth Zoo. One of the lions of the past, or maybe the present. I don't know. But anyway, it's interesting. You'll tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. And then remember, we've emphasized to you, verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I'll be with him in trouble, and I'll deliver him and honor him and show him my salvation. Some seven things come out of setting your love upon him. I know we know the power of the name, we know the authority of the believer, and all those wonderful in him truths, but let me tell you something. We need to rediscover setting our love on him first, best, most. I'm not trying to be different than I have been sharing before from the 91st Psalm. These are keys to supernatural living, keys to longevity in life, and keys to longevity in the ministry. I really believe that this is, and preachers have a way of doing that. I mean, when your heart and your spirit is all into a verse or a chapter, we have a tendency to say this is the most one of the most important chapters or verses in the Word. But I tell you without any fear of contradiction, I tell you without stuttering or blinking, the 91st Psalm is a psalm that when that psalm becomes revelation knowledge to you, it's good for any age. It's good. It's what can I say? I'm without words. It's an end time psalm. It's an end time psalm. It's a now time psalm. And it's a psalm that when I know it sounds beautiful and it has a beautiful flow to it, but there's some strong meat in this 91st Psalm. We haven't seen the last of this Ebola thing. You know, I remember a few years ago when polio was rampant, and then from there on to, you know, for other things that have come. What I'm saying, I just prophesy to you that the hour we're living in, your victory is going to depend on the things that are found here in Psalms 91. You're going to come back to it time and time and time again. Amen. And so with that in mind, who knows? I could stay with it for a year. I don't plan on that, but I can't get away. It's like I said, there are different keys that open different doors. There are different keys that work in different ignitions in automobiles or trucks. And as you read Psalms 91, first of all, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. And I asked the question then, and I'm going to ask it now. I'm going to hammer this thing as the Spirit of God leads me until we all get it and get a hold of it. It said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Where do you run to when the pressure's on? Even born-again, Spirit-filled, word-carrying, Holy Ghost-filled believers. Where do we run? Where do we run to? Who do we run to when the pressure's on? I wonder where Joseph ran to when he was in the pit. I wonder where Joseph ran to when he was in the prison. And there was nowhere else to go. I mean, where did the Apostle Paul go to? He couldn't go to the sailors because no one on board seemed to know the Lord. But he said, this night there appeared unto me the angel of God whom I love and whom I serve. There are times when there's nowhere else to go. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the first place you should always go is run to him. Where do you run when the pressure's on? Where do you run when there's pressure in the marriage? Where do you run when there's pressure with children? Where do you run when there's pressures in your finances? Where do you run? Where do you go? Where do you hide? Where do you go? We all go somewhere. We go somewhere. You don't just sit there by yourself. Even sitting there by yourself, in your heart, in your spirit, you can go to the wrong thought patterns. You can go to the wrong set of information. Misinformation can cost you dearly. And church, I just want to say it to us. This is the message I preach to myself. When the pressures are on, where do you run? Where do you go? Where can we run? Where can we go? Oftentimes people go to the wrong people, or they go to someone who is not on a spiritual wavelength, and It's amazing how many so-called born-again believers run to this world system when the pressure's on. Well, when the pressure's on, I just go see a movie. Well, I'm not knocking all movies, most of them, but not all of them. But I mean, it takes more than a movie to make you forget. You can forget for an hour and a half, but it's still going to be there when you walk out the door. Where do you run when the pressure's on? Good question. Where do you dwell? Where do you dwell? Where do you dwell? Where do you abide? Where do you run to, and where do you stay? Some people run away and stay. And they stay in that frame of mind for hours or for days or for months. Some people call it depression or whatever you want to call it. But church, I'm reaching out to you this morning. When the pressure's on, there is nowhere else, really nowhere else to go but God. Amen. Really nowhere else to go but God. God will not give you misinformation. God will not turn a deaf ear to you. Where do you go and where do you stay when the pressure's on? Where do you go and where do you stay? And the third thing that I see in this particular portion of God's word, you know, I'll just answer that question. We should run to Him. We should run to Him. We should run to Him. Amen. Lord, I come to You. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. You read my mail. You heard what someone so said. You see what's happening in the business. Oh, Lord, You see what's... There are things that I don't have the answer to. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Billy Graham said that's the strongest prayer you can pray. God, help me. Isaiah 50 verse 7 said, for the Lord God will help me. There you go. I don't have to be confused. Don't have to be upside down in a situation. Amen. But there's a third aspect here. You Bible college students, in our class this last week, you're going to have a head start here. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question this morning. What's the most important word in the world? You be quiet if you were in my Bible class. I'm serious. I am serious, serious, serious. What is the most important word in the world? You're in a word church this morning. Now I could bait you. I could, and I guess maybe I am. I know around some preachers, I don't open my mouth because you never know how they're gonna, where they're going, and what they're gonna say. Amen. So I'm not going to play games with you, but I want to be serious in what I'm saying. The most important word in the world, your first answer should be, mine would be, if I had not gained this insight, the most important word, the most powerful word, is God's word. But we're not there yet. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what the most powerful word in your life is? You know what the most powerful word in your life is today? The most powerful word in your life is your word that is based on God's word. Chew that. I'm not trying to run through it quickly. This is revelation, knowledge, and understanding. I mean, the Word's been here for as long as it's been here. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So shall my Word be. I mean, there's been preaching, teaching. This church is built, as far as I understand it, on the Word. Built on the Word. It's built on grace. He said, do you believe in grace? Dear God, can't make it without it. I mean, really, to me, there's not that big a deal about grace. That's a given to me. I discovered that in Romans 8 when I first turned my life to the Lord. Because I figured out real quick, I can't make it without Him. I'm not going to make it without him. There's no way to get there from here except for the grace of God. So we're a word church. We're a grace church. We're a church that believes in evangelism. You know, there's a lot of things that we are, as or that we endeavor to be. We're a praying church. We believe in prayer. We believe in missions. We believe in going into the highways and the hedges. But church, God help me to say it like it should be said. The most powerful word in the world is when your word is based on God's word. See, I can preach, I can teach, you can preach, you can teach. We can sing, say whatever we want to say. And if it's truth, it's truth. That's okay. But what I'm talking about is the ultimate, the most powerful word in this universe. The most powerful word in this universe. God anointed Noah to build an ark. God anointed Adam, and Adam named all the animals. So his word was in obedience to God's word. I know this is fresh ground. It's fresh ground for me. So I don't expect you to jump up and shout all of a sudden. But I am telling you, the reason it maybe has not been working as you want it to work, it's been your word, not God's word. Your word based on God's word. Am I communicating? I'm not trying to play games with your intelligence, but I'm telling you, when your word is based on God's word, it's like the difference between a vision and a commitment, a cause. David was willing to stake his life on standing before Goliath, and he said, is there not a cause? When you have heard the word and you believe the word, there's just nowhere else to go. It's all been said. What else can you say? Right? Right. The man spoke to Jesus and he said, you speak the word only. You speak the word only. And my servant will be healed. I understand authority. And so there's a lot of things we quote. I mean, we quote verses, we quote Bible, we're Bible people, we're Bible thumpers, Bible believers. The word, this is basically a word church. And I think most people understand what I'm saying. I mean, there's churches that it's just great preaching, it's loud preaching, it's mama sent me to the grocery store and I come back and, you know, and you can play with that and get people shouting and running the aisles. But this church is based on the word of God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But when your word is activated, when your word is activated by the word of God, then it's not just your bright idea. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's not just positive communication. It's a creative word. It's a creative word. Brother Ernie, you got that, didn't you? I saw that. Yeah. Am I onto something there? It's going to help you in your business. It's going to help you in your business. I'll tell you, we've had enough of our words. We've had enough of man's words. We've had enough of the news media's words. It's time we base everything we are and everything we do on God's word. Are we communicating? I'm very sincere in what I'm saying because this is new ground for me. But I'm seeing something. I mean, it came to me in preparation for Bible college this last week, and I shared it with the students. I mean, the natural, what's the most important word? Well, it's God's word. It's God. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. But the most important word in this universe until God's word becomes your word, then we're going to whine and gripe and complain and just quote what everybody else is saying and doing. But when God's word becomes our word and our word is in agreement with God's word, Hell can't stop that. God, let this penetrate. Amen. And I tell you, I'm believing God. Some of the challenges we've had over the last couple of years, that it has affected our cash flow here in the church. And there are people that got all the benefits of the church and all the benefits of the school and all the benefits of this ministry and yet felt no obligation at all. So they go away and then try to destroy the ministry that did nothing but help and bless them for years. That's a strange quirk. Amen. But the thing I'm after, I'm saying, God, give us a church whose word is your word. Hallelujah. Either this is your church or it's not. If you're a guest this morning, I don't expect you to sign up. That's between you and God. But I mean, for those of us that are here, the only way this ship's going to sail, the only way this plane's going to fly, the only way this place is going to work like God wants it to work is for our word to be, God's word becomes our word. And I believe God's going to raise up, and God is in the process of raising up some business people, some entrepreneurs. It's amazing. God has helped us to survive the impossible for 50 years. I mean, for 50 years, I could tell you times when it didn't seem like there was a way. There was no way. And God has brought us through, and God has brought this church through. And there's a job to do, and we can't do it throttled back. We're limited. We still have a Christian school. I mean, why don't all the great ministries have Christian schools? Because they're not money makers. It's cost effective. We have a Christian school. Washington wouldn't be in the mess it's in if the people of Washington had been trained in a Christian school like Calvary Christian Academy. Have a world Christian view. It's not being taught. We don't even know our own history. We don't know where we came from. We really don't know where this nation started. The kids nowadays are robbed of a history that is golden and precious. But I'm coming back to verse 3, and here it is. I mean, everything in this 91st Psalm, I'm having to back off of. I can't finish it. I've been here, four times? I've ministered in different places, and it just keeps coming through. Where do you run when the pressure's on? Where do you stay when the pressure's on? And what do you say? What do I say when the pressure's on? What do we say? The confession of the word did not die when Charles Capps went on to be with the Lord, or when Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin went home to be with the Lord. The real confession of God's word is it was real before they ever were born. The real confession of God's word, it's not for silly things or castles or, just frivolous things. I mean, God gave the confession of his word. Well, look at David standing, before he ever got to Goliath. He's standing there. He said, what's the big deal? I mean, this big bully up there bullying the camp of the living God. He said, isn't there a cause? This is not the way it's supposed to be. The God that I met on the hillside when I sang my songs and played my harp and when I took care of the sheep, surely the God that I know so well will work against this big guy. And they overheard him. And if his word had not been real, he would have been in trouble. He came to Saul, and Saul put his suit on him, put his armor on him. Can you imagine a metal suit that doesn't fit? Woo! Boy, was that a sight to behold. I mean, his sleeves hanging off way down here, and little David, he said, here, David, I'll give you my armor. And David said, there's just one problem. It's not working for you. It's not working for you. What makes you think it's going to work for me? I'm about to trip up here. No, he said, I'll just pass. So David gets five smooth stones. He was ready for Goliath's four brothers. I said, he not only went out to take the giant down, he's ready to take the family down. He was ready to take those four brothers down. Five smooth stones. And he walks out. I mean, cool, Holy Ghost cool. And the giant cursed him by his gods and said, you little runt, you nothing. You come against me, you... Whoa. David said, just overload your mouth, Mr. John. Just overload your mouth. Because you come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. God's word had become David's word. God's word had become David's word. And this day, you coming down, boy. Your mama's going to get a sad message today. Big boy ain't coming home no more. Big boy won't be home today. And he said, there's another PS to that. We're going to take your head and give it to the fowls. You've had it, giant. And I'll tell you, it's time in Calvary Cathedral International we stop hearing the voice of the giant and quake and... What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? It's time we stand up and say, I've heard from God. God's word is my word. And I speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is a giant killer. Woo! I will say of the Lord, all things are possible. I will say of the Lord, nothing is impossible with God. Praise God. I will say of the Lord, and I'll keep on saying of the Lord. I'll say it today, and I'll say it tomorrow, and I'll say it in the tomorrows. God is able. God is able. Oh, nothing is impossible with my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, hallelujah. God be for us, who can be against us? Shilaborakorakasai. Shake it off. Shake that snake of unbelief off in the fire. Shake that snake of impossibility off in the fire. As Paul, the viper fastened itself to his hand, he just shook it off in the fire. Shake it off. Don't take it home. Don't feed it. Oh, don't adopt it. Oh, in Jesus' name. What has kept you from believing big? What has kept you from making a further commitment? What has kept you? What has kept you? Who has kept you? How many have kept you? It's time to say in the name of Jesus, limitations are over. Limitations are over. I'll just say this quickly and I go back. We started... opened a post office building, commercial post office building. I had builders I had experienced church builders. I had others that I don't care to get into who said, Bob, there's no way this can work for you. There is no way it can work for you. But I heard a voice that was louder than their voice. Two architects said it won't work, but it worked. And I'm not that smart. I mean, I'm not an architect. We did things they said can't be done. When First Baptist Church became available downtown, they said, people that knew church, I had advice by some experts, so-called, who said it won't work. You can't go from this. They said it wouldn't work there, but it is working. But you can't go from here down there. It's church suicide. It's church suicide. A church growth and church planning. And so, I mean, there were some big guns that tried to get some wisdom in my head. But I'd heard from the highest wisdom of the universe, it can be done. And it was done. You say, well, if that was God, how come the storm came? Well, because God had bigger and better things. He didn't do it, but he let the devil stick his foot in it like he does all the time. And just look what the Lord has done. Where do you run? Where do you stay? What do you say? Those three things, I beg of you to settle it in your heart this morning. You say, well, what if I miss it? Well, we're all gonna miss it in little ways, you know, somewhere along the way, but we won't stay there. You got to commit. If you're going to Los Angeles, you got to commit to start for Los Angeles. You know, praise God. I will say of the Lord, He is. God is able. God is able. God is able. This summer, God sent in three miracle checks this summer. Three miracle checks. The devil did everything he could to try to bring doom and gloom over our 50th anniversary. Well, that's not, you know, it was right for that to happen. But I mean, that and soul winning and outreach. But God sent in three miracle checks this summer. And God's able to do it any way He wants to do it. Praise God. And as my grandson said, you know, Bob Nichols is not for everybody. Benny Hinn's not for everybody. Dwight Thompson's not for everybody. Rodney Howard Brown's not for everybody. You know, none of us have the answer to everybody's, the key to everybody's, what flips my switch. But you got to find what you believe is God's key. Praise God. And I didn't intend to do it, but I want us to sow some kind of seed this morning. I want you to sow some seed with us. I'm believing God. I believe about 70% of that roof came in. 76%. Is that over 76%? So we're going as far as that goes. We just, and that's just the beginning. We're not stopping with the roof. It's time people look from the freeway. We've got to get that sign repaired. That's how much is that sign? That one side, the sun, the heat of the sun has, depends on how we do it. $60,000, $50,000. I'm just throwing a figure. What I'm saying, we're busy doing other things, so we're just going to have to trust God to help us in those areas. Amen. I know it's not all cosmetic, but people see things as they drive down the freeway, and it's time they see something stronger and better, and they're getting ready to do it. Praise God as they drive by. Hallelujah. We're going to win more souls. We're going to win more souls. We're going to reach out more. We're going to see God do more. Praise God. Just ask God what He'd have you to do. That was the last thought in my mind till about 3 minutes ago. But God wants us just to sow some seed. Just sow some seed. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, If God can bring in three $50,000 checks this summer, three $50,000 checks, God can help us any way He wants to help us. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Now, at the end of every service, if you need prayer, please listen. If you need prayer for healing or whatever, our staff will be here at the end of any service, unless there's a prayer line and it goes a different direction. Never leave this room. Never leave this property hurting. Someone will pray for you if you need them. Amen. Yeah, Jacob Rodriguez, where are you, Jacob? Yeah, come on. We're going to pray over you, brother.